Well, good morning. My privilege to be here. Thank you very much to Peter for the invitation and Noel for the welcome. And may the Lord bless us as we open his word together. I want to turn with you, first of all, for a reading in Mark's Gospel in chapter 7. The seventh chapter of Mark's Gospel and verse 24. There are a number of incidents in the life of the Lord Jesus that are recorded for us on more than one occasion. For example, when we read of the feeding of the 5,000, you'll find that in each of the Gospels. There are other events in the life of the Lord you find on only one occasion. For example, the raising of the widow of Nain's son. Only Luke records that for us. But this incident that we're going to read here in Mark's Gospel is recorded in Mark chapter 7 and also in Matthew 15. And when an event is recorded on two occasions, it's good to read both of the passages. So we're going to read Mark 7, and then we're going to turn to Matthew 15. So verse 24, please, of Mark chapter 7. And from there he, that is the Lord Jesus, arose and went into the regions of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid, because a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek or a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she begged him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not fitting to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And Jesus said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now, before we go to Matthew, just have a look in verse 24 where we read. Notice that this event happens in the confines of a house. Do you notice that? We're not going to read that in Matthew, but it's here for us in Mark. It says he entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Now, come with me, please, to Matthew and chapter 15. Matthew and chapter 15, and we're again going to read at verse 21. Matthew 15 and 21. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the regions of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same regions and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously troubled with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. There's two central characters in this particular incident in the life of the Lord. There is the Lord himself, and there's the woman of Canaan. And I would like to give you two outlines this morning as we go through this particular event in the Lord's life. One of them concerns the Lord, and the other concerns the lady. And the first thing that we notice when we think of the Lord Jesus in this particular passage is that this is a unique event. That's our first heading in regards to the Lord's involvement in this particular passage. A unique event. As far as we know, this was the only time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, in his public ministry, that he ministered or performed miracles or taught outside of the Jewish territory. It is certainly the only time recorded in any of the four Gospels. What may have happened in the ministry of the Lord, John says, in many other miracles Jesus did, which are not recorded, but these are recorded. But in the four Gospel records, this is the only event in the life of the Lord Jesus where he ministered to outside of the Jewish territory. It is therefore unique. It is a unique event. The region of Tyre and Sidon, which is referred to here, and its cities were some 21 miles. That is, Tyre was 21 miles and Sidon was 45 miles from Capernaum, where the Lord Jesus is ministering in the previous verses. And the Lord Jesus makes his way from Capernaum, a journey of some 45 miles in total, a round trip of maybe almost 100 miles to go to this region of Tyre and Sidon. Both of these cities were situated up on the Mediterranean coast. And if you've got a map in the back of your Bible, you'll be able to pick out Tyre and Sidon right up in the northwesterly region on the coast of the Mediterranean. We read about Tyre and Sidon in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles 2, there's a king of Tyre, and he provided materials for Solomon when Solomon was constructing the temple. Also in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, we read of Hiram, king of Tyre, and he gave assistance to Solomon, and the seaports brought in all of the goods and the things that they needed in order for construction in the temple. The woman in this particular story, or the central character, we're told that she's a Canaanite. A Canaanite. And way back in the time of Joshua, if you know your Bible well, you'll know that when the children of Israel came across the Red Sea, wandered in the wilderness, the Lord then brought them to the borders of the land of Canaan. They crossed the Jordan, and the first city that they came to was Jericho. And the Canaanites, or the land of Canaan, was occupied by heathen nations. But because of the disobedience in the lives of God's people way back then, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, many of them still resided all of these generations later. They had not all been expelled from the land. And so therefore the land that God had given to his people of old, in amongst the people of God, there were now these Canaanites. They dwelt in the land. And this lady was a direct descendant and a survivor of these people, the Canaanites. She was not Jewish, she was a Gentile. This region of Tyre and Sidon had originally been allocated to the tribe of Asher, but it was now inhabited by Canaanite people. This lady was a pagan, she was a heathen. She was an idol-worshipping woman. Her ancestry were those who bowed to idols, and that was her hereditary. And here's the Lord in this unique event going to where this lady is. In addition, we read in Mark's Gospel that she was a Syrophoenician. In older times, historically, this area was also known as Phoenicia. And in the time of Christ, it had been conquered by the Romans, and over under the Roman governorship, it was now joined to neighboring Syria. And therefore, the lady is also called a Syro-Phoenician, a Canaanite. And here's the Lord Jesus leaving the, as it were, the safe territory, the Jewish territory of Capernaum. And he makes a journey of some 40 miles to this region of Tyre and Sidon, exclusively inhabited by Gentiles, people who have no claims to the promises or the covenants or the prophecies which God had promised to his people. And he says to his disciples, we're going to Tyre and Sidon. They're already tired. The disciples have already had a busy day. If you read the earlier parts of Matthew, you'll read how the Lord has ministered and fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They have no connections up in that area. Where would they sleep? Why would we go there? Lord, those are Gentile people up there. Look at the blessings we're enjoying in Capernaum, said the disciples. Why leave the crowds here and go to an unwelcoming, inhospitable people who have no sympathy for us or for Israel? Why would we go to Tyre and Sidon? We're told in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, that there were people from Tyre and Sidon who had been in Jerusalem, or rather in Galilee, and they had heard and seen some of the Lord's miracles. But there's no indication that this lady had been amongst them. But maybe the news of this miracle worker, Jesus of Nazareth, had gone, his fame had gone before him. And whenever Jesus arrives in the regions of Tyre and Sidon, this woman has already got him in her radar, and she makes a beeline for the Lord Jesus. In Mark's account, we're told, as I've already mentioned, it says that the Lord Jesus arrived and he entered into a house. It says that he didn't want the people to know widespreadly that he was there. But it says he could not be hid. They couldn't keep it quiet. Can you imagine what's going on? The Lord has arrived, unannounced. He's now entered into a house. A crowd has gathered. And in amongst that crowd, there's a woman, a Syro-Phoenician lady. And her little daughter, her young daughter, is left back home sick. And so that's the setting of the story. Now, here in Matthew 15, we're told in verse 22, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same regions and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. What way was that for a woman of Canaan to address the Lord Jesus? Matthew highlights that she's a woman of Canaan, a pagan, an outcast, a Gentile. She's not a Jew. Her greatest love is her daughter. Her greatest desire in life at this moment in time is that her daughter would be healed. She would do anything in order that the Lord Jesus would be favorable towards her and heal her little daughter. So what does she do? Well, she's very aware that the Jews have no dealings with Gentiles. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Why would Jesus, a Jew, want to show any favor or any blessing to her, a woman of Samaria, or rather a woman of Canaan? And upon hearing of Jesus' arrival, she devises a plan how she would approach him. And if you ever read the writings of Ivor Powell, I enjoy his ministry, I enjoy his writings, Ivor Powell in his book says this lady became an amateur actress. She became an amateur actress. She presented herself to Jesus and to his disciples as a Jew. O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that gives us the first word in the outline for the lady, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. This lady had the greatest antagonism, and her people had the greatest antagonism towards the Jews. The Jews had stolen their land, so they thought, all those centuries ago. The Jews were those who worshipped a god who was exclusive, and they called them, their gods, idols and pagans. But here was this woman, a daughter of Canaan, a Syrophoenician, a heathen woman, and she comes and she falls at the Lord Jesus' feet and she says, O Lord, thou son of David. And she's a hypocrite. She had no respect for him. She had no respect for Israel's king. She had no respect for David. She had no respect for this nation. But what she wanted to do was, she wanted her little daughter to be healed. And so she becomes an amateur actress. She uses an address that no Canaanite would ever use. She uses an approach of respect that none of her people would ever adhere to. And look what how the Lord Jesus responds, an uncharacteristic reaction. He answered her not a word. Verse 23. An uncharacteristic reaction. Can you find anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus ignored such a plea for help? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But here's a woman falling at his feet. O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus answers her not a word. What an uncharacteristic reaction. Why? He ignores her crying. She's a hypocrite. Hypocrisy. Dishonesty, deceit, putting on a front. The Lord has no time for hypocrites. He is silent to her. If she wasn't going to be honest with him, she would be ignored. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees? Ye are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. Friends, this morning, our first lesson is this. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. The God of truth expects honesty. Be real. He ignores her, an uncharacteristic reaction. Hypocrisy in this lady. But look at verse 23 of Matthew 15. He answered her not a word, and his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away. Send her away. They're in the confines of a home. This lady is persistent in what she's demanding. And the disciples say, send her away. But Jesus answers in verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and they say, send her away. That answer doesn't seem to fit with what the disciples have said. Send her away. And Jesus says, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How do you put those two things together? They don't seem to fit. The Greek word, send her away. If you look in verse 32 of Matthew 15, there the Lord says, send away the disciples tell him to send the multitudes away in regards to getting food. He would not send them away fasting, lest they faint and be weary in the way. That's the same word. In Matthew 1, verse 19, the same word is used when it says of Joseph, when he heard of Mary that she was expecting a child, he was minded to put her away secretly. It's the same word. But whenever you come to Matthew 27 and verse 17, the same word is in the original again. And this time it's Pilate. Pilate said to the crowd, who will you that I release unto you? Jesus of Nazareth, Barabbas, or Jesus who is called Christ? That is the same word. Who is it? Who will you, or who do you want me to release unto you? Who do you want me to set at liberty? That's the same word. And when you come to Acts chapter 4, it says of the disciples, whenever they had preached and then were brought in before the chief priests, it says they released them and let them go, and they returned to their own company. The same word, release, set at liberty. That's the same word. Now, if we were to take that rendering of the Greek word, this is how it would read. The disciples came and said unto Jesus, release her, set her at liberty. And then Jesus says, I'm not sent but except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And immediately a dagger entered into that woman's heart, and she said, he knows who I am. They're telling him to release me, to give me what I want. And he has said, I'm only sent to the Jews. He knows I'm not a Jew. He has outed me. And she realized in a moment of time, Jesus saw into her heart. Her pretending was over. She could be an actor no longer. And the Lord Jesus, she then gets real. And look at verse 25 of Matthew 15. Then reality takes hold in her. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. No more fancy language. No more hypocrisy. No more verbiage. Humility set in. Honesty set in. And if the first word in this lady's life is hypocrisy, the second word has to be humility. And the third word has to be honesty. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm not a Jew. I've no right to ask or to claim anything, but Lord, help me. Help me. A unique event for the Lord, an uncharacteristic reaction, but here's the third thing in the ministry, in this passage I see from the Lord, an unusual reply, because the Lord begins to speak to this lady. He answered and said, verse 26, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. That's an unusual reply to this lady. 2 years ago, I was in Speaker's Corner in London, And a middle man who was a Jew, he had a skull cap on his head. He shouted out in the open air, "Your master, your Messiah, your Jesus, called a woman a dog." What sort of man would refer to any person as a dog? He didn't believe in Jesus the Messiah. And he referred to this passage and he says, "Your Savior, your Jesus, called a woman a dog." Who would call any person a dog? The word dog appears 8 times in the New Testament, the word dogs as in plural, and 1 time singular dog. The Lord Jesus differentiates in regards to the word dogs. There are 2 different words used on those 9 occasions for the word dogs. The first rendering of the word dog is the flea-infested scavenger dogs that roamed the streets and ate from the rubbish tips. That's one rendering of the word dogs. But that is not the word that the Lord used here. That was how the pious Jews thought about the Gentiles. But 4 times the word dog is rendered, and this is how the Lord used the word here. The word here is the word for puppy dog. It's the dogs that people kept as pets. And that's the word the Lord uses when he speaks to this woman. He says, "It is not fit to take the children's bread and to cast it to puppy dogs." And she says, "Truth, Lord, but the puppy dogs eat the bread that falls, or the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And really what she's saying is this: "Lord, I'm only like a little puppy dog that eats the scraps from the table, but Lord, even the little dogs can get the crumbs." And she shows her humility. She acknowledges herself as being unworthy of anything. And she says, "Lord, you've used the word that says even the dogs get the crumbs. Lord, could I have a little crumb? I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. Lord, even if it falls from the table, but Lord, you've used the word that says I'm just like a puppy dog. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." Humility, honesty. An unusual reaction, but an unqualified praise. Look what the Lord says in response to this woman's attitude now. Verse number 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Unqualified praise from the Lord's lips and undeserved blessing from the Lord's hand. She got what she came for, but she got it because she took the place of an undeserving sinner, and she looked to a God who could give her what she wanted by grace. Then if you come back to Mark chapter 7, it's nice to see Mark's account of how the story finished. Verse 29 of Mark 7, the Lord Jesus said unto her, "For this saying, go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the demon or the devil had gone out of her daughter, and her daughter lying upon the bed. And as her mother walks into that little girl's bedroom, the little girl says, "Mommy, where have you been? Where have you been?" And the mother says, "I've been to see the man who made you better. And you know what? He made me better too. I've been to see the man who made you well. And do you know what? He healed me too. He showed me what I was. He changed me on the inside. And I'll never be the same again." What grace. We have time to read Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, as we finish. The Apostle Paul is the writer of this wonderful chapter. He's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to the likes of you and me. I don't think there's any Jews here this morning. There may be people of Jewish background. But brothers and sisters, read this passage with me. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. "And you has he quickened, made alive, enlivened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches, the surpassing riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk on them. Therefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were one time far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What grace. What grace. We were no better than the woman in our story this morning, a Gentile deserving nothing. But oh, the crumbs that have fallen from his table. Oh, the grace that has brought us to himself when we came as sinners, unworthy, deserving nothing. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If you're not a Christian here this morning, if you don't know him, his arms are open wide. If you'll come honestly, humbly, and in faith. And if you know him and love him, we're going to remember him in a moment. He came from the brightest of glory to lift the likes of you and me. And he says, this do in remembrance of me. May we do it for his glory and worship him in spirit and in truth. May God bless his word.